when we hear of the altar, we have an altar. We're reminded of these truths. Number one, man is guilty, and his guilt deserves death. And the problem with man, all of us, is sin. Sin is our problem. Number two, we're reminded that God is just and will in no wise clear the guilty. That means He will not cleanse, He will not make clean, and He will not hold guiltless. There's one thing that He's going to do to the guilty. He's going to judge him. He's going to kill him. A holy God must punish sin. But when we read of the altar, we know that God, thirdly, is a God of mercy and love. And this is the foundation of the altar. The miracle of God's grace is that Almighty God will be appeased according to His everlasting covenant, according to His good pleasure. There is redemption and salvation and forgiveness, but only through the altar. And we have an altar. The altar was the place where God's appointed priest, offering God's appointed sacrifice, worshiped God in God's appointed way. Abraham told the fellows that was with him when he was going to take Isaac, remember, up on Mount Moriah. God had told Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and you take him on this mountain and you sacrifice him to me for a burnt sacrifice. I remind you that the burnt sacrifice was the sacrifice that was given that was only for the Lord. The priest had no part in it. He couldn't eat part of it. He could eat part of certain offerings, but not the burnt offering. That was for the Lord only. And it set forth God's satisfaction in the absolute obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was for God. It was a sweet savor offering, a burnt offering. And He said, I want you to take Isaac and go up there and you offer him to me for a burnt offering. Going up that hill, Isaac said, here's the fire and here's the wood. Where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb. But Abraham had told those fellows, he said, lad and I are going to go up on the hill. We're going to go up yonder, he said, and we're going to worship God. Pagan rituals showed that man has got a conscience, because paganism would have an altar. They would sacrifice these sacrifices on their altars, trying to appease their gods. But Proverbs 15:8 said, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. You want to know why? Because Christ is not honored. If Christ be not honored, God doesn't accept it. Thanks be unto Him, we have an altar. Well, in the Old Testament, there were two altars that were revealed. There was the brazen altar. That was the altar upon which the sacrifice was made in the appeasement of Almighty God, setting forth the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, the brazen altar. The second altar was called the golden altar, or the altar of incense. And that altar was the altar whereby the fire or the coals from the brazen altar, where the burnt offering was made, fire from that altar was taken and placed on the golden altar, and then incense was sprinkled and the smoke would come up and God would accept that offering. It was that altar of incense set forth the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, His prayer based upon His merit of obedience and substitution and atonement from the brazen altar. This was the mistake, the gross error, that Nadab and Abihu, these were sons of Aaron. These boys were priests. And they tried to approach God. And the Scripture says they offered strange fire. Doesn't say where they got it, but it didn't come from the brazen altar. And they tried to approach God outside of God's command, God's demand that that fire comes from that altar, that brazen altar. And when they tried to approach God, and they tried to approach God on their thoughts, on their wishes, on their will, on their merit, God killed them. And God told Moses, He said, "You tell Aaron, don't you open your mouth." God killed him. I want you to take, just mark your spot right here. I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 16. I want to read something. I'm going to read this 16th chapter. It's got 50 verses in it. At first I was going to pick and choose a few verses here and a few verses there, and I said no. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Numbers chapter 16. And I want to show you the importance, the need of the altar of incense, the altar of intercession, the altar of His intercession, His prayer. Numbers 16. Now the Scripture says, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron, and said unto them, 'You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord's among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?'" And now, realize who's talking here. This is Korah and Dathan and Abiram, these leaders of the princes. And they came to Moses, and they said to Moses, "Who do you think you are? Lifting yourself up above the congregation. Everybody in this congregation is holy." Verse 4. "And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, 'Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are His and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Do this. Take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, you sons of Levi." And Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? He said to Korah and Dathan and Abiram, he says, does it seem a small thing because the Lord has separated you to minister? And the way you've rebelled and talked, he hath brought thee near to him and all the brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? There's still these two men that were with Korah, they're still standing against Moses and rebuking him. Moreover, thou hast not brought us up into a land that floweth milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields or vineyard. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. We're not going to obey. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer. 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, their sons, their little children. And Moses says, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do these works, for I have not done them of mine own hand. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, and all that appertaineth or appertain unto them, they go down quickly into the pit, then ye shall understand these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder and was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, their houses, all the men that appertained unto Korah, all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, and went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. And they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, therefore they're hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they were burnt and had offered, and they made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, now listen to this. This happened one day. These people saw God open up the earth and send Korah, Dathan, Abiram, send them straight to hell. And it says on the morrow, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You've killed the people of the Lord." And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, a cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar," that is the brazen altar, "and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that had died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. My friend, thanks be unto God, we have an altar. One that will stand before God and men. One that will answer upon His own merit. Almighty God, in mercy, we talk about having an altar of incense, a brazen altar. Oh, that God Almighty might teach us something of Christ Jesus, our precious altar. Now I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to read a couple of passages here, and then I'm going to sum up. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus 30. That altar, that incense, that censer that Moses told Aaron, he said, "You go and you get your censer and you put fire off the altar and you put some incense on it. You approach the Lord." And he stood between the living and the dead. The picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want us to take and look at Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 to 10. Here's the altar. This is how God commanded Moses to build it. Exodus 30, verse 1, "Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it." Now there's that wood. It's an incorruptible wood. Probably a very hardy cedar, what I could find out. One that set forth the glory of the humanity, the preciousness of the humanity of our precious Savior. "A cubit shall be the length thereof, a cubit the breadth thereof, four square shall it be, two cubits shall be the height thereof, the horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold." The deity, the divinity of our precious Savior. Whenever that priest would come into that tabernacle, what he saw was, he saw the gold. He saw the golden altar. He saw the divinity that covered that precious humanity. "I shall overlay it," verse 3, "with pure gold, the top thereof, the sides thereof, round about, the horns thereof," horns representing the power. "And thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about." It was a box, about 18 inches, 18 inches, about 3 feet tall. And here was the top, but it had a crown that kind of went around it, setting forth the King, the Lord of glory. Two golden rings shalt thou make to it, under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof, upon the sides of it, shalt thou make it. They shall be for places for the staves to bear therewith. This was an altar that could be carried. It didn't have to come to the altar. The altar was with them. When they moved, the altar moved. The ever presence of our Lord. Thou shalt make the staves, the wood, carry it, of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. Thou shalt put it before the veil, that is, by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is, over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. On the outside, I've told you before, this tabernacle, it was about, I just stepped it off from the wall to about this side of this aisle right here, the edge of the pews. And from this wall to about the last part, just in front of Larry, sitting right there. That was the tabernacle. Two-thirds of it was the congregation of the tabernacle of the congregation. Most all the priests could go into that portion, but there was a veil. About where Glenda, Barbara, Pat said, it was a veil about that far back. And right behind that veil was the mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant, right behind that veil. Well, right in front of that veil was where that altar of incense sat. This was the tabernacle right here. It had an outer wall around all the way out of cloth. When you first came in to that open courtyard, just inside the door, when you would walk into that door, there's where the brazen altar was. You entered in to that outer court, the first thing you had to meet with was that brazen altar. God Almighty is going to be satisfied. Sin is going to be dealt with. Penalty for transgression is going to be dealt with. From that brazen altar, they would take the coals and they would bring it into that inner court, the tabernacle of the congregation. Not just everybody, but the congregation of the priest, other than the high priest, who could only go into the Holy of Holies one day out of the year, not without blood, and sprinkle the blood on that mercy seat. But that golden altar, that altar of incense, thou shalt, verse 6, put it before the veil that is by the ark. There was the golden incense, there was the veil, and there's the ark right there. It's just real close. Before the mercy seat that's over the testimony, I'll meet with you. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense. Every morning when he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, when he trimmed them, these lights never went out. He trimmed them, had trimmed them, put the oil in them. He shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. He ever liveth to make intercession. You and I, we got to get some rest. We got to go to sleep. We get tired. Not him. He ever liveth, ever awake, to make intercession for his people. You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shalt thou pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement on the day of atonement. Once in it was going to, those the horns on that golden altar had those horns on it, setting forth the power of Almighty God, the power of His intercession. And on the day of atonement, one time a year, He'd take the blood and He'd anoint those horns on that golden censer, on that golden altar, that altar of incense right there, setting forth again the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the merit of that intercession, His blood, His blood, His blood. And it is most holy unto the Lord. Now, this altar of incense, whenever that incense was placed upon those hot coals, that smoke would rise up, and it set forth the glorious intercession that was given its merit based upon His obedient suffering. And God Almighty heard him based on his obedience, on his work, on his fulfillment, the work that had been given him by the Lord. I finished the work that thou hast given me. And as the high priest, our precious Savior, in his intercession, pleading his own merit, he pleads for no blessing upon his people which his blood has not actually purchased. He asked for no pardon for them on his behalf that he has not actually atoned for. He bought it. He bought the right to ask for their forgiveness. For his sake, he paid the debt. I paid for it. I finished it. And on his own merit, Father, forgive them for my sake. And God hears him in intercession. I tell you, remember the high priestly prayer. We're going through the book of John right now. Very soon, Lord willing, we'll be in chapter 17. I love John chapter 17. That's high priestly prayer of our Savior. But in John 17, in verse 4, he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work that thou gavest me to do. So he does not present one single petition before his Father that he has not actually earned the right to have answered. He is our altar. Now that incense that was put on it right back in Exodus, let's read a few verses, Exodus 30, verses 34 to 38. This is the incense. Now, see, you go back and you see what happened back in Numbers 16 whenever that those men had stood up. He stood up against God, what they did. They questioned God's authority through God's preacher. And when they did, God killed them. And then and when God started killing them, and 17,000 plus, 14 or 17,000. And that's when Moses says, go get the censer. Get the fire off the altar. Put the incense on it. Go in. And he stood between the living and the dead. That incense, it was a precious thing. In Exodus 30, verse 34, and the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot I don't know about this. And most of the commentaries that I read agreed. You know, they said, we don't know him. We don't know that much about it. But there were some things. They said, take unto thee, I know they were sweet spices, representative of our Lord and the sweetness, the honor of him. Sweet spices, stacte, onycha, and galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be a like weight. There's nothing out of proportion with the Lord. He's perfect. And thou shalt make a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. That is, if you look in my margin, it's got where it says, tempered together, salted. Remember we looked at that passage here not too long ago in Ezra 7, and when Ezra went to get the supplies that Artaxerxes said you could go out of the treasuries and get this. There was so much gold, and there was so much oil, and there was so much wine, but there was, it said, salt without prescribing how much. There's no limit to the grace. You take these spices and you temper them together. Salt them. Put salt in them. Pure and holy. That's what else we know about this incense. It was sweet. It was pure. It was holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small. Oh, the crushing hand of Almighty God in His wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the merit of His intercession? He suffered under the penalty of God's law and bore our guilt and put it away in His own body and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with thee, and it shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume, when thou shalt make it, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy, for the Lord, whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto, it shall even be cut off from his people. What the Lord was telling Moses, you make this incense. You make it out of these spices. You make it just exactly, all three portions of it. And you put it in like the art of apothecary. You put it in there and grind it and grind it and grind it. It's just a fine, fine powder. And that incense right there, don't you dare try to imitate this. That's what he said in verse 37. Thou shalt not make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition. It shall be unto thee holy, and it's for the Lord. You try to share in God's glory. You try to produce that smell of satisfaction. You try to make something for yourself and say, this, I smell like this. I smell like that incense right there. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. It was holy. Holy incense. So the fire for that altar, holy. It had to come from the brazen altar. The incense, it had to be made according to God's specifications, God's word, God's will, God's way. And he said, I will not share in my glory with any of it. It's precious, it's holy. Now, as I began to close and wind this down, I want us to consider a few of the glorious particulars of this altar. We know that the smoke that ascended up represented prayer, intercession. Psalm 141 in verse 2, it says this, let my prayer be set before thee as incense. As you smell that sweet incense made with those sweet spices, ground with that art of apothecary, as it's placed on those coals, and that smell, that aroma, that's the aroma that Almighty God will smell in acceptance. It smells of His Son. And when He smells that, He said, that's the smell of obedience. That's the smell I smell. That's the smell that I'll accept. Oh, the merit of His prayer. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25 and Hebrews 9:24. We have a high priest ever living, never sleeping, making intercession for us. John 17:9 says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. What an indescribable thought that he who is the Lord, the God of heaven, prays for his people. That thought is indescribable. No words can describe it. No tongue can utter the significance of it. But oh, if Peter could have only realized the mercy of God. When God said to him in Luke 22:31-32, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. But he was saying, Peter was already a converted man. But he told him, he said, Peter, when you're brought to the knowledge of the error of your ways, you'll be an encouragement to others. Strengthen the brethren. And Peter was sifted. He denied the Lord. But the effectual prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ for Peter was the foundation of Peter's repentance. But there's another beautiful truth that's set forth by this altar of incense. You know, when we talk about his intercession for us, that's something that is so high above us. We believe it by faith and we know it. We know it so and we're thankful for it. But I want to show you something about this altar of incense that's going to be a true blessing to you that believe. You know this. Revelation 5:8 bears this out. Revelation 5:8 says, and when he had taken the book, Revelation 5:8, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. God's people pray. God's people pray. And when you pray, enter into your closet. A man will sooner not breathe than a believer not pray. A man will stop breathing and die before a believer will not pray. God's people pray. They seek the Lord. But let me ask you this question. What's the merit? What is the merit that Almighty God would hear your prayer? Why would God hear you, Mitch, or me? Margaret, why? What's the merit of our prayers being heard? When we call upon the Lord, and we try to pray, and in our little frail, feeble attempt to try to pray. And when we're praying, that which is so frail, we might truly ask, Freddie, is this prayer at all? Is this really prayer? Really? Am I praying at all? I've wandered. My mind is just... What I have attempted to do. What is the merit? Look at Revelation 8, 3 to 4. Revelation 8, 3 to 4. The scripture says, well, I'll read 1 to 4. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given to him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Back in verse 3 in the margin, when it says in the middle of the verse 3, and that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints, my margin says to add it to the prayers. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great angel of the covenant, who has the golden censer of his own intercession, the scripture says back in Revelation 8:3, with much incense, takes the prayers of the believer as frail as they are, and presents them before God Almighty in the fragrance, the sweet fragrance, the holy fragrance, the pure fragrance of that incense that was described back in Exodus 30. Ground. He takes that incense of His intercession. He who knows the hearts of His people. And when they try to pray, when they try to call upon the Lord, when they in their frailty and their weakness, as little babbling babies that don't even know what to say. We don't know what to say. And He takes their prayers and mingles it with His intercession. And it's accepted before God Almighty on His merit. And God hears the prayers of His people. He is engaged right now on behalf of His redeemed, presenting to the Father in the sweet fragrance of His own perfection both the petitions and the request for forgiveness, the worship of His people. And He mingles it with His own worth. And Almighty God hears us for His sake and answers for His sake. We have an altar. We have an altar. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.